Please open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. In your Scofield Reference Bible, page 772. The first chapter of Jeremiah, the first five verses, we'll read the verses responsively. And as is our custom here at First Baptist, let's please stand for the reading of the Word of God. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, under the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, under the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, continue now, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I adorned thee a prophet unto the nations. I'm reading one other verse, Psalm 103, verse 14. You need not turn to it. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And let's pray. Father, I think you've got something to say to us this morning. Help us to listen. Thou art the God of all the universe. And we're an assembly here, not unlike many assemblies throughout this country and around the world. Thy people need to hear from thee. We're privileged to have a man of God. Help us, we pray, and give us the kind of attention that thy word deserves, and that the preparation of many hours deserves. Meet with us, we pray, in power, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, I love those songs that have a message. And thank you very much. I want to speak this morning to one person in this audience. I want the rest of you to listen to me as I speak to that one person. No, I haven't found out your sin. You can relax. I recall years ago, I announced in East Texas I was going to preach on some things that I have found out about your lives. I said, I've been doing investigating, and I found out some things I'm going to expose in the service tonight. I'm talking about personal stuff. I found out some things been going on in this church. You think we didn't have a crowd that night? Man alive. And folks got mad before I even preached a sermon. What I did was I found a bunch of nice things our people had done. Sermon lasted about 5 minutes. But I want to speak this morning to one lady. She'll know who she is. Be quite frank with you, I don't recall her name because she's not a common name in the church here. And she's rather new in the church. And not what you'd call an inner circle member, but she is here this morning. I want to speak on the subject, yes, ma'am, God knows you. Yes, ma'am, God knows you. We read a while ago that he said to Jeremiah, I called you before you were born. I knew you in the womb. I knew you when you were conceived. I knew you. I let the pro-abortion crowd read that scripture. Then we read a while ago, Brother Colston did for us, that wonderful passage in Psalm 103. He knoweth our frame. Not only does he know you, he knows your frame. He knows your bone structure. He knows what a wonderful physique that I have. Thank you, sir. Only one person said amen. He says amen. He wakes up and says amen. Whatever I'm saying. But he knows our frame. He knows the strength or the weakness of your frame. I hope you'll let me just tell you this morning what I want to say to this lady. Heavenly Father, I pray today that you'd help us to realize how important we are to you. And especially this dear lady and all the other ladies and men and young people and boys and girls like her. Please help me, and may we leave this place rejoicing in God. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been about 2 months ago, maybe 6, 8 weeks ago. A little lady came to me, and please, ma'am, do not think that I'm being critical. I'm not. To me, there are no high-class people or low-class people. They're only people. And nobody's better than anybody else. But this lady, socially and economically, would be a little lower than a middle class. She's not had it easy. I wish you could have been in my office yesterday alone. Just yesterday. And have heard the heartbreaking stories that I heard yesterday in my counseling. This little lady came to me and she said, "Preacher, I was forsaken by my husband. I have several children. I'll not tell how many because it might reveal to some of you who it is." She said, "I have several children." She said, "I have to work two jobs. I have to rear my children alone." A lot of you folks, a lot of you gals that have husbands that provide for you and nice air-conditioned apartments or houses and decent clothes to wear, you ought to shout every day the goodness of God. I talked to a lady yesterday, 4 children, faithful member of this church, godly lady, 4 children. Her net income is $600 a month. She cannot support the children. She's had to send 2 of them to her parents and 2 of them to, I think, a brother or sister. And the children do not live with her because she can't afford the children. $600 a month with 5 mouths to feed. This little lady, not the same one I mentioned yesterday, but several weeks ago, my husband forsook me. I have several children to rear. I hold down 2 jobs to feed my children. She said, "Sometimes I wonder if anybody really knows what I'm going through." And then she asked me this question. She said, "Now, Pastor, tell me the truth." And I do tell folks the truth when they ask me to. She said, "Tell me the truth, Pastor. Does God really know who I am? Does God really know who I am? Does He know my problems? Does He know my husband forsook me? Does He know that I live alone? Does He know that I'm trying to rear several children on just a penny or two? Seems like. Does He know? Does God really know me?" I'm going to take the next 30 minutes or so to talk to that lady. The rest of you may listen in. In fact, you better listen in. But the rest of you may listen in as I speak to that little lady and try to convince you that God knows you. Let me start. And everything I say this morning will be backed up by Scripture. In fact, I will not quote a Scripture, but I will quote from probably 30 or 35 scriptures this morning. Let me say to that little lady first that God hears the cry of the infant in the crib. Psalm 8:2. He hears the cry of the little baby in the crib. That isn't all. He knows the unborn baby in the womb. Jeremiah 1:5. But that isn't all. He knows us as an embryo before we are formed. He said to Isaiah, "I knew you before you were formed," in Jeremiah 1:5. God said He knew you in the crib. He knew you in the womb. He knew you before you were formed in the womb. And by the way, let me say this. That means God's going to judge anybody that'll kill somebody like that. It's just cold-blooded murder. And God will cause the doctors that perform them to stand in judgment one of these days, and they'll face Almighty God as a murderer. They won't stand before the courts of the United States, but they're penny ante compared to the great court they're going to stand before someday and give an account for every murder that they've committed. But I say, lady, do you wonder if God knows you? If He knows the infant in the crib this morning? If He knows the unborn child in the womb this morning, every lady in this room this morning, expecting a baby, God knows that yet unborn child. And if God knows not only the infant in the crib, but the unborn child, But if God knows the embryo before the child is even formed, don't you think God knows you? Bible says He charts the course of every sparrow and decides when each one falls in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29. I was walking down a sidewalk in an eastern city several years ago. I think it was Westminster, Maryland. I'm pretty sure it was. And I don't have days like this very often, but I was a tad discouraged. Not really discouraged. I was contemplating suicide, but nothing serious. And I was a tad discouraged. And I was walking down the sidewalk in a little strip mall there, and I saw a little bird. And the bird had one wing. It was fluttering like that. And I stopped, and I watched the bird. And then I saw the bird as it died. And I said, God is here. For my Bible says that God charts the course of every sparrow, every bird that flies through the air. And decides, not only knows when they fall, He decides when they fall. I say, He charts the course of the sparrow, Matthew 10, 29. He picks out the exact garment for every lily in Matthew 6, 28 and 29. He buys the wardrobe for every blade of grass in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. He provides food for the raven in Job 38 and 41 in Psalm 147. And every raven, no, it didn't say every robin, every raven. Didn't say every dove, it said every raven. And if you'll read Leviticus 11, 5, you'll find these words, every raven is unclean. So God says, I not only feed the sparrow, and I feed the clean birds like the dove and the robin and so forth. But God said, I feed the unclean bird like the raven. And you wonder if God knows who you are? Hey, I've got news for you. God knows your phone number. God knows your address. God knows your heartache. God knows the thoughts of your mind. God knows where you live. God knows the pain that you feel. If He knows every raven and feeds every raven, if He charts their course of flight, He picks out the garment for every lily and the wardrobe for every blade of grass. I bind you that God knows who you are, ma'am. Bible says He knows exactly how many stars there are and calls each star by name. Psalm 147 and verse 4. Some nights you go out and look up in the heavens and see all the stars, multitudes of stars. One lady said to her boyfriend, aren't the stars numerous? And he said, yes, they are. And aren't there a lot of them, too? Now, you won't get that because you're too dumb to get it, but God loves dumb people, too. And but God not only knows every star, but He called, listen to me, young people over here, listen to me, I'm preaching to you. I expect you to listen to me, too. And He calls every star by name. You know, He has a special number for every hair on your head. Both of them in some cases. You know, not only that, but he has every hair. He knows that number. He knows exactly how many hairs you own your head, Brother John, and exactly where they are. I don't know where all of them are, but you and I are both cover-up boys. Sort of. But God knows every hair on your head and knows exactly how many your hairs. And He has a computer and a machine where He subtracts them when they fall out. By one angel is given just to me to take care of that. But God knows the number of every hair in your head and knows that number. He charts the course of every fish of the sea. It says, every fish of the sea, and tells him what to swallow. Remember the story of Jesus when he wanted a coin? He went and got a fish, and the fish had a coin in his mouth, and Jesus used that coin to pay taxes with. About April 15th every year, I go down to the seashore and go fishing, but he had told that fish what to swallow and charts the course of every fish. Out in our backyard, we have a little garden, and flower garden. Ms. Hiles operates it, and I pray for her. But we out there's a little pond out there, and it's about the size of maybe 8 feet long and 4 or 5 feet wide, and I guess it's about 2 feet deep. It's about 2 feet deep. And about a year or so ago, Dave, our son, bought a 6 little goldfish about that size. And we've watched those goldfish as they get bigger and bigger. And now, I guess one of them 6 inches long or so. I know I was out there with a rod and reel the other day. About 6 inches long. And this wintertime, now get it. Remember how cold a winter we had? I mean, 15, 20 below zero, and that pond froze solid. And do you know when it thawed, those fish were still alive? I can't understand that. Saved my life. And if you can, don't tell me. I want to marvel about it. But we were out there the other day, and Miss House fed those fish, and six of them, and there's six big ones, and I guess we got about 45, 50 little ones now, and little tiny ones. And I was watching those fish, and boy, they dart right like, well, not quite like that, but they dart like that, like that, like that, and those little bitty minnows down there, darting like that, like that. And I said, you know, to myself, every single one of those, God charts the course he takes. Boy, what a God. Ma'am, do you wonder if God knows who you are? When the Bible says that he charts the course of the fish of the sea, the Bible says he feeds all his creatures. He pours nectar into the honeysuckle for the hummingbird. He provides grain fields out of heaven for the flocks. He sweetens the clover for the oxen. And you wonder if he knows you. Winter is postponed until the ants have plenty in storage and the squirrel has filled his cabinet with nuts. He gives high hills for a refuge for the goats and makes rocks for the conies, Psalm 104, verse 18. He causes grass to grow for the cattle, Psalm 104, verse 14. The young lions get their meat from God, Psalm 104, verse 21. He houses the stork in fir trees, Psalm 104, verse 17. He sees the sheep and the cattle and sees that they have enough to drink. In Psalm 104, verses 10 and 11. He notices the little ant in Proverbs 6 and 6. And the spider is the object of his attention in Proverbs 30, 25. And the locust or the grasshopper is the object of his thought in Proverbs 30, verse 27. And you wonder if he sees a little ant and notices him and brags on him in Proverbs chapter 30 and notices the spider that weaves his web and talks about that spider weaving his web and notice the locust that jumps across the yard. And you wonder if he knows you? Oh, yes, he knows you. No wonder the psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast put all things under his hands, all sheep and oxen, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if God knows about the ant, and if God charts the course of the little goldfish, and if God feeds the sparrow in the heaven, and if God feeds the unclean raven, hallelujah, God knows my heartache today. And God knows my burden. And God knows my son. Yes, ma'am. He knows that little apartment where you live. Yes, ma'am. He knows your husband left you. Yes, ma'am. He knows that the children are the object of your attention. Yes, ma'am. He knows that you work 8 hours a day on one job and come home and feed the kids and go back at night and work 4 hours on the next job. Yes, ma'am. He knows you. Not only does he know you, he loves you. And as he loves you, he provides for you. And God is aware of every burden you have and every pain that you feel. The Bible says he decides where the hawk flies. In Job 39, 26. He determines the launch of every eagle. In Job 39, verse 27. The rain must seek a permit before it falls. The lightning must get a purchase order before flashing. The thunder must remain silent, awaiting his command. Thank you. Now, you doubt that God and I are... Actually, I got a man up here in the baptistry making that thunder. What timing. Woo! Glory to God. He paints the wings of the peacock in Job chapter 39, verse 13. He designs the feather of the ostrich in Job 39, 13. He decorates a butterfly's wing. You know, at Sinai, God commanded a Sabbath that man could keep, but God also thought of the beast of the field. When God said that man should do no work on the seventh day, he likewise said that no beast of the field should do any work on the seventh day. And God was conscious of the oxen and the horse and the mule and the donkey. Yeah. If a tornado comes, that door's mine right there. The muzzling of the ox was forbidden so he could eat the grain that he treads. He takes notice of animals so small that a raindrop would be a lake, and so tiny that a leaf would be a world. And you ask if he knows you. You ask if he knows you have that cane, Brother Laurent. He knows the pain that you feel in your body. He knows the loneliness of the little person up here who slept on the streets last night. He knows exactly where you slept. He knows you by name, and he knows that you were on the streets last night. He knows you mission men. Folks might not know where you are, and you may wonder if anybody ever understands or knows where you are. Oh, yes, he knows where you are. Do you doubt, ma'am, that he knows you? Do you doubt that he knows your name, the names of those little children? Do you doubt that he knows the pain that you feel and the loneliness you feel? Do you doubt, by the way, that isn't all. God provides in the Bible a special blessing for widows. God provides in the Bible things for widows he doesn't provide for married ladies. I bet you'd like to trade your husband for some of those things he provides. But God provides things especially for the widows. He doesn't provide for other people. I'm saying that he knows and charts the course of every whale, every sailfish, every trout, every bass, every bluegill, every haddock, every minnow. And if the young birds were taken from their nest in the Bible, God said before you take the young bird from a nest, from its nest for, and use it for food, first let the mother bird go free, because God didn't even want the mother bird to see the little ones taken from the nest. He noticed a little man on a rooftop. He noticed a blind man beside the road. He noticed a widow who gave her two mites. He noticed a fallen woman at Sychar's well. He noticed a crippled man at the pool of Bethesda. He noticed little children at play. He knows every crocodile basking in the sun. He knows every goat climbing the rocks. Every ostrich pacing the desert. He hears the chattering squirrel. He hears the humming bee. He hears the croaking frog. He hears the chattering squirrel, the whistling quail, the caroling lark. He hears the spouting whale, the bleating lamb, the lowing oxen, the chirping sparrow, and the howling wolf. And you wonder if God hears you. A mother of a little child trying to rear him alone came out of the barrel of a meal. And the mother was scraping the bottom of the barrel, and finally there's no meal left. And she threw her hands up and she said, "I give up, I give up, there's no meal left." The little boy looked up and said, "Mama, don't you think God heard the scraping of the bottom of the barrel?" "Yes, he did." I'm saying, ma'am, God loves you. He watches over the birds in the nest in Psalm 104:17. He protects the porcupine with its arrows. He protects the bear with its paw. He protects the deer with its antlers. He protects the bird with its wings. He protects the wasp with its sting. He protects the roe with its speed. He protects the bear with its paw. Lady, God is able to protect you and supply your needs also. Last Thursday, Dave and his wife and children were here, and so Ms. Hiles and I took them to the zoo. And that's where I met some of you. And I wore a sports shirt. I thought, now, the Lincoln Park Zoo is one place nobody's going to see me. So I'll wear a sports shirt. I don't like you to see me because I like to be Clark Kent instead of Superman. But I wore a sports shirt. We saw 8 members of our church at the Lincoln Park Zoo. They were outside the cages. No deacons were there. But I couldn't help. I knew what I was going to preach about this morning. And we went to every little bird up in the, and watched them up in the trees. And the big old elephant out there reminded me of, oh, Brother Keith isn't here this morning. And the roaring lion. And the pacing tiger. And all those animals. And little monkeys up in the, they call them bus kids, but monkeys up in swinging in the trees. And I got to thinking, God knows every one of them. Every one of them. He knows them by name. And I couldn't help. I'm finished with that point. I couldn't help but thank God. He knows me. No wonder the psalmist said, "What is man? Thou art mindful of him." God's mindful of you. And God's mindful of me. And what is man thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Not only is God mindful of you, ma'am, but God visits you. All you got to do is draw nigh to him in that little apartment where you live, and he'll just come and draw nigh to you. And you can visit with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But wait a minute, ma'am. Wait a minute, ma'am. We've talked this morning about the hummingbird and the frog and the squirrel and the quail and the lark and the fish and the whale and the lamb and the ox and the sparrow and the wolf. We've talked about the bear and the deer and the bird and the roe and the wasp. And we've talked about all those things. But I want to tell you something this morning, ma'am. All those things were made for you. You see, he hath put all things under your feet, the Bible says. Ma'am, it was for you that the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." It was for you that the shepherds watching their fields by night were suddenly startled by the angelic choir announcing the coming of the Savior. It was for you that the womb of Mary was conceived with the Holy Ghost of God. It was for you that Mary and Joseph came to Bethlehem to be taxed. It was for you that Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Ma'am, little lady in that apartment, it was for you, that Jesus was born. It was for you that wise men brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and laid them at the feet of him who was someday to become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It was for you that Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. It was for you that he fled the murder of the wicked king. It was for you that he grew a carpenter's shop. It was for you that he was a man of sorrows and despised and a man acquainted with grief. It was for you that he was in all points tempted like as we. It was for you that he left the glories of heaven and the angelic host, worship of the angelic host. It was for you that Jesus Christ left heaven 33 homesick years. He was away from the Father. It was for you that he was despised and rejected of men. It was for you that he was expelled from his own synagogue in Nazareth. It was for you that he was crucified by his own race. You, the wicked soldiers arrested him, and wicked men indicted him, and wicked men convicted him, and wicked men punished him. It was for you. It was for you that he was placed on the cross. And nails were through his hands and feet. It was for you that he was beaten beyond recognition. Ma'am, I'm talking to that lady this morning. It was for you, ma'am. Oh, he knew you before you were ever born. In fact, he knew you before the foundation of the world. Ma'am, he looked down before there was ever a tree, ever a river, ever a lake, ever a rock, ever a rill, ever a mountain, ever a valley, before there was ever a world, before there was ever a sun, before there was ever a moon, before there was ever an earth. He knew you, and he knew exactly the burden you were going to have, and God loved you before there was ever a world. And you wonder, ma'am, does he know you? It was for you that he hung on the cross. It was for you that he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was for you that he poured up your sins and placed your sins on his record. And for you that Jesus paid it all. For you the old account was settled long ago. It was for you he was wrapped in burial garments and placed in Joseph's borrowed tomb. It was for you he was there 3 days and three nights. It was for you that he rose triumphantly over death, hell, and the grave and conquered Satan as he... It was for you, ma'am. You, ma'am, that he ascended back to the Father. It is for you, ma'am, that he sits at the right hand of the Father this morning, pleading your case. It's for you, ma'am, that he's preparing a home in heaven. Hey, endure that little apartment for a while. You got a mansion being prepared for you. Every once in a while I hear that little song, a little cabin down the corner of Glory Land. I want to kick the guy that wrote it. I don't want a little cabin in the corner of Glory Land. I want a mansion on Main Street. And God's preparing one for you, ma'am. Ma'am, it's for you that he's interceding this morning. It's for you he's coming back for one day. It's for you he's going to give you a glorified body. It's for you he's preparing a wedding in the skies. It's for you that the marriage supper's being prepared even today. It's for you. He's coming back on a white horse to live and rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. It's for you that someday Satan shall put down forever, and we'll see the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. By the way, what I've said this morning will apply not only to that little lady, it applies to you. It applies to you over here, the educable slow. I see Wilbur shaking his head, my good friend. He knows you, Wilbur, and he loves you. He knows that little fellow, little chubby fellow that's educable slow that stands outside the door every Sunday morning, shakes my hand. Several years ago, it's Father's Day. I went out after the service. He said, "Happy Father's Day." I said, "Thank you." I was so pleased. The next Sunday, I went out, and he said, "Happy Father's Day." For 6 months, every Sunday, I went out, and he said, "Happy Father's Day." See, Father's Day is every day for me. Wish my children would learn about that. But he knows. Mission men, he knows you're up there. A lot of folks in your family may not know where you are this morning, but he knows where you are. He knows, ma'am. Yes, he does. He knows. He also knows your name. And he has his heavenly pen filled with the blood of Christ, just waiting to write your name in heaven if you'll trust him as your Savior. He knows you, unsaved person. He knows those that never trusted Christ. He knows you. He wants to save you. He died for you. He rose for you. He lives for you. He's coming for you. And he so wants to write your name in the book of life this morning. With eternal pen dipped in Calvary's blood, he'll write your name indelibly in the Lamb's book of life if you'll come and trust him. I fly a lot. Sometimes it's through the night. In fact, in the wee hours of tomorrow morning, I'll be in the air flying. And sometimes I look out the window of the airplane and I get to thinking, nobody knows where I am right now. Nobody. My wife knows where I'm going. My secretary made the reservation. But at this very moment, nobody knows what seat I'm in or what the flight number is. But I'll promise you, he who charts the course of every bird, he who receives the flight plan from every eagle and gives permission for takeoff time, he knows where I am. He knows you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. He knows you. Our Heavenly Father.